much has been said about the federal government's prosecution of solicitor Bernard Collaery and his client Witness K, a former senior ASIS intelligence officer. This is, of course, the long-running case about intelligence being leaked, allegedly by Witness K, that showed the Australian government had bugged an East Timorese government office in 2004. The aim of that particular act of espionage had been to ensure that Australia had the upper hand in negotiations with East Timor over the rich oil and gas fields in the Timor Gap. And given the acute secrecy surrounding this case, speculation on other possible drivers and implications simply never stops. We'll canvass that now with a former senior public servant whose focus on the drama is, if anything, growing, leading him into some interesting arenas. Ian Cunliffe used to head the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet's legal section. He's a legal rights advocate who's written many articles on this topic, his latest for the online policy journal Pearls and Irritations. Welcome, Ian.
Thank you, Geraldine.
Could you give us an update, please, on where these cases are up to now?
Well, in the case of Bernard Collaery, there was an important decision from the man who'll be the trial judge, David Mossop, in the ACT Supreme Court last year, which really accepted very much the submissions that were made on behalf of the then Attorney General Christian Porter, that the trial should be very much in secret, indeed with important information withheld even from Collaery and his legal team and the jury. Now, that decision has been taken on appeal to the ACT Court of Appeal. The ACT Court of Appeal heard that argument about a month ago, roughly, and its decision is expected within the next 6 weeks or so, because one of the judges who sat on the appeal is due to retire in late July, I understand.
Okay.
And so we'll then have to see what the appeal court has said about the directions and findings made by Justice Mossop, and set our course from there.
And there have been 50 preliminary hearings across both cases already. Do you think we'll see a trial this year?
No, I think there's no way. There was a webinar held out of the ANU in Canberra at the end of March, and some other people who've been following the case even more closely than I have, Kieran Pender in particular, said he didn't think we'd see a trial for years. And I think that's probably right. Things are moving at a glacial pace. There's an enormously important issues to be considered and weighed. It's really quite an unprecedented case in terms of the attempt to introduce, I suppose, secrecy into a criminal justice system, which really hasn't had to confront these issues before.
And which keeps you sort of guessing as to what it's all about. You say, and I'm just going to canvass a couple of sort of thoughts that are emerging. You say that in a Senate estimates hearing a couple of weeks ago, Labor Senator Kim Carr and Independent Senator Rex Patrick drew attention to how these prosecutions are being received in East Timor itself. Why does that matter in your view?
Yes, the Senate estimates was on the 29th of May. Well, Senator Patrick told the estimates committee hearing that he'd been a number of times to East Timor-Leste, including on parliamentary business, and he said that Collaery and Kay are regarded as being heroes in Timor-Leste. Now, that is important because Australia's relationship with Timor-Leste is extremely important for strategic and defence reasons, apart from anything else. The comparison has been made, I think justifiably, between Cuba and the United States and East Timor and Australia. We really don't want to have an alienated sovereign nation sitting only a few hundred kilometres off our northern coast. Senator Patrick described how the Chinese government is already very apparent in constructing public works and so forth in East Timor. We do not want to do things to force East Timor into Chinese becoming a vassal state of China. If they were to do so, we would, as Senator Patrick said, have to spend billions and billions of dollars to try to counter that.
And this certainly, you know, hasn't been discussed. But look, the really intriguing aspect of your thinking and ongoing investigations, as I read it, concerns helium, a crucial part of that oil and gas deal that was emitted. Now, what are you trying to... What's provoked you to think like this?
Well, reading Bernard Collieri's book, actually, he published a book a couple of years ago, called Oil Under Troubled Waters, singular, in which he details in great depth just what has happened in relation to the strategically very important commodity of helium, which in the case of really each of the oil, major oil fields in the Timor Gap, there is a significant proportion of helium. Helium is a very important product, not only for filling zeppelins, but it's very important in the nuclear industry. It's very important in the electronics industry. Every time we have an MRI, we're using helium. It is so strategically important that it is impossible, really, to find what the government knows about Australia's resources in terms of helium, but those resources are thought to be, except for what is potentially coming out of the oil and gas fields in the Timor Gap, pretty limited in Australia. But the effect of what has been done with one of the significant fields up in the Timor Gap, a field called Bayu Undan, is that through some sharp practice and, in fact, frankly, skullduggery, the field has been developed in such a way that no benefit has been derived from the exploitation of the helium in that field.
So,
rather,
yes,
to the surprise of Timor-Leste and the surprise of the United Nations, a...
Now, I'm just going to clarify here. So in the final...
near Darwin.
Yeah, can I just interrupt you? In the treaty that was signed, that
yes.
If just to be clear, in the treaty that was eventually signed, there was no mention of helium and
no,
royalties going to...
Sorry, it was excluded by lawyer Weaselwords from the treaty. Overall, the approach of the treaty was that the developers of the oil field should do so for the mutual benefit of the parties.
Right.
An exclusion which runs quite counter to what happens with oil and gas fields right across the world, an exclusion was added to exclude inert gases. Helium is one of those.
Okay.
Now, the value of this helium, which is being produced from this site just outside of Darwin, a place called Wickham Point, is that every year about $200 million worth of helium is produced and is exported.
I'm just going to bull you back. So the implication of this, because you know the piece on your the headline on your piece was, is this what it's really all about? This case.
Yes.
Now, what are you getting at there?
Well, I'm afraid that there has been dirty work and even corruption to hide from the East Timorese the presence of this helium, then the exclusion of their right to get the benefit of the helium from the treaty which they signed. For example...
Just come closer to the phone, if you wouldn't mind, Ian. We're just sort of slightly losing you.
Steve Brax has written an introduction to Bernard Collieri's book in which he said he didn't realise that that, in Bernard's words, the Australian government had connived to hide from the United Nations and the Timorese the presence of massive quantities of helium gas. And he says that that Bernard's book delves into the detail of the helium ripoff and exposes the secret deal orchestrated by the Australian Department of Foreign Affairs and its minister, Alexander Downer, that benefited multinational oil companies at the expense of the desperately poor Timorese and, as it turns out, Australian citizens. We should have had a share. The East Timorese should have had a major share, but in fact this... A very valuable resource, $200 million a year since 2009, is going... We've given it away. We've given it away to a bunch of mostly multinational, offshore-based petroleum companies.
All right. We're going to leave it there, Ian, because I think there's a lot to digest, and obviously people will take this further, but how much it will be out in the open is a moot point. Look, thank you very much indeed for joining us to describe all that so carefully.
My pleasure.
Ian Cunliffe, writing in Pearls and Irritations, a former head of the Prime Minister and Cabinet's legal team, about the Bernard Collieri case.